It is always a pleasure to welcome bookstores from our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and to enjoy. We have not one but two booksellers with us today to share their findings. The folks from Chatham Bookstore are here. They have a fine list for these days of fall. And we welcome Thomas Shulak and Kara Polito to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Good. Good.
It is a pleasure to see you both.
Yeah.
Now, who would like to begin?
I'll begin.
All right.
I wanted to kind of pick up on your segment that you had before. I can't remember the name of the author around the issues of democracy in America.
Correct.
So the
Greg Sargent, yes.
Greg Sargent, thank you. The book that I want to begin with is called Prius or Pickup, How the Answers to Four Simple Questions Explain America's Great Divide. Like so many others, I've been kind of wondering how we got to this place in America, how we've gotten to this divide. And this book actually has helped me to understand some of the divide by going actually below the issues, going deeper into some political science and psychology research that may help to explain why the divide is like it is today and how we've gotten to this place. The authors are Mark Hetherington and Jonathan Weiler. They're professors at the University of North Carolina. And fundamentally, what they're getting at here is that if you can understand the worldviews that are in deep inside of people at this point in time, you're going to be able to understand a lot of what's happening in the politics. They say up until recently, in the last couple of decades, issues have defined the way that people approach political parties. For instance, in the Depression, it was issue-oriented. People would think about large government, small government issues, issues of taxes, issues of spending programs. But what these two authors are getting at is saying that if you can understand how human beings in the United States, how people in the United States deal with the question of security, how they deal with their own sense of personal security, how they deal with issues of fear, you'll begin to understand the political divide. And they have developed ways of getting at this, actually, by four questions. I won't go into those in detail, but that's what the heart of the book is about. And they've said that basically in the United States today, in terms of worldview, there are people that have a fixed worldview, and there are people with fluid worldviews, and they're on the far extremes of American society. Most people are in the middle. Most everybody that has a fixed worldview ends up going on the Republican side. More those with the more fluid worldviews tend to go on the Democrats, and then there's a whole bunch of folks in between. And they use questions to ask people about the way, the qualities that they want in their children as a way of getting at the question of how secure do you feel? How much threat do you feel? How frightened are you? And depending on where you are in that whole question of fear will determine to a great extent how you end up voting politically at this point in time. There used to be a time when there would be more bipartisanship because more fixed and fluid were in Republicans and more fixed and fluid were in Democrats. Now it's separated and you do not have the same level of willingness to compromise on all kinds of things. It's more of a we-they dynamic in the culture. They then go on to talk about all kinds of issues like immigration, like race, like the question of the borders, questions of guns in the society. All of those kinds of issues flow from that. But the heart of it is to try to get at how we deal with the question of deep inside of us when it comes time for us to decide how we're going to protect ourselves, what ways do we approach that? And from that flows our politics of today.
The name of the book is Prius or Pickup by Mark Hetherington and Jonathan Weiler. It is published by Houghton Mifflin. All right, next.
The second book is one called Leading with Love, Inspiration for Spiritual Activists. And this is by Maud White and I'm sure how to pronounce her name, Hasai Matsuda. And we have Maud White, who is a local person, coming to our bookstore on the 17th of November at 5 o'clock. And she is actually does paper cuts. But this book uses some wonderful quotations along with her paper cuts to get at the question of leading with love. And I thought in this time, a couple weeks before the midterms, a couple of good quotes might be helpful for us.
We'll take it.
Okay. The first one's by an author named Martinez. He says, "Go into nature, fall back in love with the natural world, and let your commitment stem from the place of connection. What you see may spark a powerful connection that will motivate you into action." Thich Nhat Hanh. "We are here to awaken from the illusion of our separateness." Martin Luther King. "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And lastly, Julia Butterfly Hill. "The common language being spoken is often one of fear. My medicine is the language of love, which creates a space where all people can sit down together."
The name of the book is Leading with Love, with illustrations by Maud White, and it is out from Parallax Press. Okay.
I'll jump in here.
Thank you.
The first one I'd like to talk about is a young adult book called Dry by Neil Schusterman and Jared Schusterman. I do hold this genre very near and dear to my heart. And like all great young adult novels, Dry is a book that children and adults will enjoy getting lost in. And like all great dystopian novels, Dry is built on the premise of a catastrophe that simultaneously feels safely far away and dangerously near. Imagining a drought, especially in California where Dry takes place, isn't hard to do, but imagining what people really actually do when the water is completely gone is where things get interesting. The main characters of the book are just 16 and 10 years old when their parents leave in search of water. When their parents don't return, they have to learn how to survive. Not just alone, but alone with everyone else in California who are all looking for the same thing. The characters of the novel are timeless, and the subject matter is timely. This is the new book you'll want to put in the hands of any young adult that you can.
Excellent. Next.
The Lost Words.
The Lost Words.
I'm actually going to reach this book across to you and put it in your hand.
I like that.
That's why I brought it. This is a book whose concept is very unique. In 2007, when a new edition of...
Very big, Kara.
It is. It's good to hold in your hand. When the new edition of Oxford Junior Dictionary was published, about 40 common words concerning nature had been dropped. They were not being used enough by children to merit their place in the dictionary. So the list of lost words that include things like acorn, bluebell, heron, newt, were replaced with things like attachment, blog, cut and paste, and voicemail. The news of the substitutions, the outdoor and natural being displaced by the indoor and virtual, became seen by many as a powerful sign of the growing gulf between childhood and the natural world. So about 10 years later, Robert McFarlane and Jackie Morris sought to summon these words again into the voices, stories, and dreams of children and adults alike, and to celebrate the wonder and importance of everyday nature. The Lost Words is a book that needs to be held, which is why you get to hold it, and enjoyed and shared and celebrated. Do yourself a favor, go into the independent bookstore nearest you and flip through The Lost Words. You'll forever be able to close your eyes and see the images, from the acorn to the weasel. The weasel is my favorite. This is the book you're going to want to get for yourself and for your kids.
Got to go to Weasel now. Hold on.
And for your crickets. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's marked.
It's flagged for you.
Flagged.
That's how much I love him. You're just going to want this for anyone you know who likes books or art or words.
Now, talking about words that vanish, the one that has vanished from my mind is what it is called when you take weasel and you take the first letter. The first letter, and then that is the start of each line of the work.
Oh,
do you know what that is called? That is called something.
It is, because kids do it in school.
Yes.
Like with their names. And
so, yep. I'll have to look that up. But anyway.
I'm sure we could Google that.
Okay. So weasel whirls through world like wildfire, ember spins, smoke curls for weasel, axe on land like spark on tinder. And that's, so it's W-E-A-S.
Right. Yes. And yeah. Doesn't it look great, too?
Oh, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It's a violent act that the weasel was perpetrating, right?
Yeah, and when you turn the page after each word and its description.
What's it called? An acrostic. Thank you. Sarah LeDuc to the rescue. Acrostic.
Her new name is Google.
Yes, acrostic.
So after each picture and word description, acrostic, we're calling them, there's a full 2-page illustration.
Oh, okay. Well, this bird definitely died, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Eaten by that weasel.
And then this one is getting away.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Got it.
That one saved the other, clearly. Yeah.
So, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It is. All right, I'm going to jump onto the next book here.
Okay, please do.
Impossible Owls by Brian Phillips. The words I hear most when I'm reading about Brian Phillips' debut book, Impossible Owls, are digital age journalism. But not one of these essays will make you think of the digital age, nor that you're reading anything by a journalist. Every story flows like fiction, so well written that the facts of each just seem to seep into your brain while you're completely immersed in what feels like the best novel you've ever read. Until you get to the next piece, which seems better than the last. Whether you're traveling with the author on his adventures through the jungle or flying with him along the Iditarod, you'll feel like he actually took you on the journey, not like you're reading his account of the event. This is one of the rare books where the entire way through I was torn between devouring it as fast as I could and slowing myself down so that I could savor reading what's turned out to be my very favorite book this year.
Excellent. Impossible Owls, an essay collection. All right, we have about a minute.
Okay. So what I'd like to do then is maybe end with Birding, the Hudson Valley. This is by Catherine Schneider. And she's going to be coming to the bookstore in December, which we're excited about. She's from Stuyvesant in Columbia County. And it's a book about how to bird in the Hudson Valley, the 10 counties that make up the Hudson Valley. She talks about the landscape. She talks about the difference between watching birds at the bird feeder and going out and discovering birds in nature. She talks about migration. She talks about how to listen to the sounds. She talks about how do you find these and name these birds, and how do you connect with other people who love to just be out in nature as they explore the birds. So Birding, the Hudson Valley, Catherine Schneider, wonderful book.
It is beautiful. You bought beautiful books today. Really very lovely stuff. For more information on the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, you can visit them, 27 Main Street in Chatham. And you can also see the list online. And it's very simple, wamc.org/roundtable. There is a link to this talk plus the list. And you can see all of the great books that have been suggested. Thomas and Kara, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.